in Colossians. We should be closing it out pretty soon, which will make some of you guys happy. I think it's been a really good study. I had Glenn read verses 1 through 17 just as a reminder today of where we're at, because we come to a passage, just one verse today. We're going to take just one verse today, verse 18 of chapter 3. And I chose not to do this one on Mother's Day because I just didn't want to. Everybody knows Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Pray with me, and then we're going to look at this passage. Father, I pray, Lord, that you give me wisdom and that you would open hearts and minds today, that we would be, as your word says in Romans 12, that we would be renewed in our minds, and that renewal comes through your word as applied by your Spirit. So, Father, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit more and more today and give us understanding. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and bask us in your grace, Lord, as we long to bring you glory, but we struggle with so many things. So work in us, Lord. Come by your Spirit. And Father, would you work in me that I would rightly divide your word today to bring your people good, to give them hope, and to be a means of your grace. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in a weird time in our culture. I will tell you, if most of you guys know, I am about the furthest from being a social justice warrior. I'm a biblical justice warrior. I think we should get our understanding of justice from the scriptures, not from any social cause. But we are in a time in our nation, which I don't think necessarily things are new. I think things just come to light more and more. If you think about what's going on in our world, we have what has, I think, been kind of nefariously been referred to as the Me Too kind of age in our country, in our culture. And I know it's easy sometimes to think about the Me Too thing and to just scoff at the idea, and scoff at the idea of women being mistreated in our nation, women being mistreated even in the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm going to share with you just a few pieces of data, just some statistics. I'm not going to overwhelm you with this. And they come from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. It's a very reputable group. And I want you to think about these, because these are some things that make it very difficult sometimes to preach a message telling wives, submit to your husbands. And I want you to hear some of these. Lest we scoff at the idea that women are, that there's a problem in our culture. I want you to hear this. One in four women, and by the way, when you read deeper into it, it's probably worse than that, but it's one in four that they know about. One in four women have been victims of severe violence, meaning beatings, burnings, strangulations. One in four women by an intimate male partner in their lifetime. One in four women. One in five women in the United States has been raped. Almost half of female rape victims, 46.7% of female rape victims in the United States were raped by an acquaintance. And 45.4% of those were raped by an intimate partner, a boyfriend or a husband. Think that's nationwide. Think about Texas. 40.1% of women in Texas have experienced physical violence, rape, being stalked by an intimate or former intimate male partner. That's Texas. The Lord's country, right? In 2019, in Texas alone, in 2019, 150 women in Texas were killed by a male intimate partner. Listen to me right now. First of all, we should be cut to the heart when we hear those things. Second of all, I don't want to hear anything from men claiming that I'm afraid to preach the truth when you don't get cut to the heart and realize just when you take these things into consideration, it is very, very difficult to tell women to submit to their husbands. Very, very difficult. There's two things to consider here. First is that we have a serious domestic violence issue in our nation and in our state. Men, listen to me here. I am at the disadvantage of knowing many women in this church and the abuse that they have incurred in their lifetime. Most of you men have no idea. And I would never stick them and put them in a position to feel uncomfortable. But if every one of them stood up that had incurred some form of abuse, you would probably get on your knees. We have an issue. And because of that, it's difficult in this climate to preach telling women that they must submit to their husband. It's difficult. However, we cannot back away from difficult passages. We have to deal with them. We have to teach them. We have to apply them. But we must seek them to do it correctly. And I'm not sure that there is a more misused or misunderstood doctrine in the Christian faith than the roles of men and women and how to relate to each other in marriage and the church. Amen. I'm not sure there is a more misused and misunderstood doctrine in Christianity than the authority and submission of husbands and wives. It is a doctrine that has been used to affirm great evils. And this is what happens when we take good things that the Lord has given us and we turn them into sinful things. And so we come to a passage here, and husbands, listen, I'm going to deal with you next week. And so ladies, when you hear this, just know that there's more coming next week. When we come to a passage here, in chapter 3, where Paul, we read 1 through 17 on purpose because I don't want you to miss that what is instructed here in verses 18 through 23 in this instruction on how to live in the family is connected to how to live in the church. So everything that we say here is connected to the idea that we are putting off the old self. The old self of sin, the old self-righteous self, the old one that will excuse our own sinfulness and blame it on others. We're putting that away and we're putting on Christ. A Christ that leads us to love and to have compassion and to have forgiveness and to have grace and to govern our lives by His glorious mercy. And so when we come into the idea of how husbands and wives and children and everything works with each other, we work with each other under the banner of God's glorious grace and mercy in Christ, that He has freed us from the power of sin. And He has freed us to His righteousness. So when we come to a passage like this, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. It is the basis of here's what it looks like to put on Christ. But that's not saying enough, because it's easy. And I, in the last 2 weeks, I have researched many horrific, horrific messages and sermons and Bible studies, taking this passage and turning it on its head and teaching it as something that was never intended to be, separating it from the glorious work of Christ and turning it into something that quite literally, even though they will deny it, turns women into second-class citizens even in their own home. So we're going to deal with this passage correctly today. First, we have to lay a foundation. We hold the position, as at Crestview Christian Church, we hold the position unwaveringly that men and women are absolutely equal in value and importance by virtue that both share the condition of being created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27 makes that very clear. God created them in His image. Male and female, He created them. And so, male and female have the same value and worth and the demand for dignity, the demand for respect, and both ultimately reside under the ultimate authority of God Almighty. And therefore, all people, male and female, must be given that due respect. Not by virtue of their own, but by virtue of being created in the image of God. That's the first thing. The second thing that goes with that is we hold that God has created men and women with different strengths and different, and sometimes different roles. That we are compatible with each other. That we complete each other. That we complement each other. My wife and I, that God has put us together, and I have strengths and weaknesses, and she has strengths and weaknesses, but God brings us together and we complete each other. That I cannot be fully the man that God has called me to be without what my wife brings into this situation. And likewise for her, we complete each other. Together we become one flesh. And we together accomplish the purposes of God that God has placed on us. So we are complementarians in that sense. That men and women complete each other. We're not the same. We complete each other. The third thing, real quick, but when you hold on to that, we do know in Genesis 2:18 that Eve was created as a helper for Adam. And some will take that and say, well, wait a minute. You said that there's no hierarchy here. There's no one's above the other. They're equal in as their image bearing. And therefore, they both demand the same respect and dignity. And one's not under the other when it comes to this economy of God. But why would God call Eve Adam's helper? Doesn't that entail some subservient thing, some underneath thing? And the problem with that is to be a helper does not mean that one is above the other. That Eve was created as Adam's helper does not put her below Adam in the pecking order. And we know this literally because the same word for helper, ezer, that's used for Eve, is used no less than 5 times to describe God as our helper. The same word that God uses to say Eve is Adam's helpmate is the same word that is used more at least 5 times in the Scripture to say God is our helper. And so none of us would dare say that suggests that God falls under us. That would be inconsistent. It would be blasphemous. God did not create women as lesser or as man or greater, but both equal in value and purpose, and therefore equal to demand that in the demand for dignity, respect, honor, and love. Those are three foundational things I want you to hold on to as we look at this. Those are hills that I will die on. All three of those. So let's look at Colossians 3:18 with that one. First, we're going to define these things briefly and discuss what they mean. But we're actually, I'm going to discuss exactly, we're going to learn exactly what it means to submit. But we're going to do so this morning really focusing and talking about what it doesn't mean. What submission doesn't mean. Because sometimes I think you focus on the negative side and it helps to understand more the positive command. So what does it mean? Well, first of all, wives, submit to your husband. The word for submit is hypotasso, okay? It's a Greek word. It's used throughout the scriptures. And what it literally means, the literal translation of the word, is to willfully arrange oneself under. To consider one more important than the self. It's the same word used in Ephesians 5:21 and applying to the church and all the relationships. When Paul says to the church, as he's teaching them how to live with each other, he says, you submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So he's teaching there in Ephesians that the church should be a people coming, living with each other, saying, you know what? Jeff is more important than me. I want to leverage my life for the good of Jeff. I want to leverage my life for the good of Ryan. Because I care about Ryan as much, or if not more, than I care about myself. That's the idea of submitting. Willfully placing, arranging oneself under, considering one more important than self. So the act of a wife submitting to her husband, get this, is the act of the wife willfully placing herself under the leadership of her husband, seeking to live in such a way that she both fosters his leadership and seeks for his good. It's really quite that simple. It's her act of willfully placing herself under the leadership of her husband, seeking to foster his leadership and seeking his good. That's it. That's the very simple thing. Now, husbands, we're going to deal with us next week. But that's the very simple baseline truth of what it means for wives to submit. That the wife willfully says, I'm going to consider my husband more important than myself. And so I am going to leverage my life for the good of my husband. So that's nil. That's the very simple defined definition of what it is. I want to deal more with what it's not. Because many have taken that and turned it into something that's horrific. Well, first thing that it is not, and hear this, men, I want you to hear this quite clearly, because if you want to ever set me off, let me ever hear a man say, well, you're told to submit to me. Because here's what it's not. The first thing that it's not. This is not a command for husbands to use against their wives. And how do I know that? Quite literally, because that's the way Paul wrote it. The command here, and we'll give just a little bit of a Greek lesson, is in the present, middle, and imperative tense. Okay? So this is a command. It's an imperative. It's a command to submit. Right? But we need to make sure we understand who is being commanded. So it's in present and middle tense, which signifies that the subject of the verb, which is wives, is being affected by its own action. So what this means, it is a command to wives and wives alone for the wives to willfully do. It's not a command for husbands to demand that their wives submit. Men, you never have the right to demand that your wives submit. That's not what the passage says. He's not talking to you. He's not talking to me. He's talking to wives. It's a command explicitly given to wives for them to place themselves under their husband. It is not a command to husbands to say, hey, you get under me. It's not the way it's written. You have to wait till next year to find out what the command is to husbands. That's the first thing I want you to say. It is not a command for husbands to use against their wives. Matter of fact, insight in the next week, to use that command is to absolutely be contrary to the command that is given to husbands. To use this command as a way to force your wife down and to claim some great authority over her and demand that she submit to you is to undermine the very thing that he is going to command us to do, as we read next week. So the first thing, it is not a command for husbands to use against their wives. And you cannot use it that way. It would be absolutely contrary to the written word of God. The second, that's the first. The second is it's not a command to obey or to follow a husband into sin. Listen to this, wives. This is not a command to obey or to follow a husband into sin. First, for the wife to obey or follow her husband into sin would be contrary to the very context of this passage. You look at what he says. Wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Sin is never fitting in the Lord. So a wife is never commanded to follow or to submit to her husband into sin. We see some examples like this. We have some case studies. If you go with me to Acts chapter 5. We see this, you know, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. In 1 through 10, well, Ananias and Sapphira, they have seen some people just get lots of praise and glory because they went and they did some good things. Barnabas went and sold some property and he came and he gave it all. And they're like, man, we want to get some of that prestige, right? So they come up, they devise this plan together. Well, we're going to sell some property, right? And then we're going to make a bunch of money and then we're going to go make an offering to the church. But what we're going to do is we're going to keep some of the money for ourselves, which is theirs to do, by the way. That wasn't sinful. But we're going to give a little bit to the church, but we're going to tell everybody that we gave it all because we want some of that glory, right? Well, we know what happens. Ananias shows up and gives this money and says, I gave it all. And the Lord tells Peter, he's sinning in here, not because he kept money, but because he's lying about it, right? And he kills over dead, right? But then Sapphira comes in. Look at verses 7 through 10. So after an interval, about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. So she didn't know. She went to church like, oh, my husband, I'm waiting to get some praise because we gave all this money, right? And Peter said to her, verse 8, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came and found her dead, they carried her out and buried her with her husband. Now, I go through this to point. Ananias had led his wife into sin, and she had no excuse for that. She could not stand and say, well, Lord, I followed my husband into sin. So wives, you are the command to submit to your husband is never a command to follow into sin. Never a command to follow into sin. And I struggle to talk, and I know we have youngsters here, so we'll try to be clear. There are many applications to this. Wives, you never have to follow your husband into pornography. Don't let your husband manipulate you or use that into bringing that into your home. That's sin, and you don't have to follow. You are not being unsubmissive to your husband by refusing to follow him into such sins. You are not called to lie for your husband. I've actually had people ask me like silly things like, my husband wants to lie on our tax return. What do I do? Don't do it. Don't do it. You do not have to follow it. It's not a command to obey or to follow a husband into sin. Just be freed with that. You are not being unsubmissive by refusing to follow or obey your husband into sin. So first, it's not a command to husbands to use against wives. And it's not a command to obey or follow a husband into sin. Third, it's not a command to silence. It is not a command to silence. Listen up, ladies. Submitting to your husband does not mean that you never openly share your opinions, your desires. And husbands, your wife is not being unsubmissive when she respectfully makes her opinions known. Our wives, by the very foundation that we laid at the beginning here, our wives are complementing partners in life. It would be dumb. On just a very logical level, it would be dumb for me not to listen to the one that God has sent to complete me. How dare I believe that I have it so darn good that I would refuse to listen to the one that the Lord has sent to complete me. And here's the thing, guys. Listen up. You can and you will learn from your wife. And there will be times when she is right and you are wrong. It's the truth. I know. Whoo, that's a crazy. He didn't say it. It is true. It is true. Look, we're going to deal with this next week some. I'm called to lead my family. I'm called to sometimes make decisions for my family, right? I don't make those decisions apart from my wife. And here's the thing. If my wife and I disagree, I fail sometimes, right? I fail probably more than I ought. But I tend to try to lean towards her side because it's been proven time and time again that my wife is reliable. God has sent her to me and sent me to her, and she's reliable. And sometimes when I listen to her instead of what I think, usually if I follow her, it ends up well because she's reliable. So when I make decisions with my wife for a family, I do it listening to her as the wise person that God has sent for my good. Makes no sense, men, to tell your wife to sit down and shut up. It's not a command to silence. It's not. And husbands, your wife is not being unsubmissive when she respectfully, we're not yelling at each other and treating each other poorly, but when we respectfully discuss and even disagree on things. I also believe that husbands and wives should never make big decisions unless they're in lockstep. Don't make decisions, financial decisions or life, big life decisions, unless you are in agreement. A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So we work together. We complete each other. So it's not a command to silence. The command to submit is not a command to silence. Fourth, and this is the one that it is not a command to endure abuse. It's not a command. The command for wives to submit to their husbands is not a command to endure abuse, ever. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse. It's not a command to submit to that. Men, it is absolutely and horrifically sinful to abuse your wife in any way, shape, or form. Your wife does not belong to you. She is not your property. She is an image bearer of God. I've had the privilege of marrying some in here. And they will know. Matter of fact, 2 years tomorrow, right? 2 years ago tomorrow, I married these two. One of the things that I discuss in almost every wedding that I do is the idea that what God is doing in marriage is bringing two people together to care for each other. That a husband is going into partnership with God to care for his daughter. And that a wife is going into a partnership with God to care for his son. We don't belong to each other. We belong to the Lord. And to abuse what belongs to the Lord is horrific. And it's absolutely contrary to God's creative order and His demands. Women, you are not being unsubmissive. You're not committing sin by reporting abuse, by seeking help, or even getting away from abusive situations. The command to submit to your husbands is not a command to endure abuse. I'll make that clear. And here's where I go on the side here, because here, this is where the Church of Jesus Christ has failed in our context. Too many times the abuse of women has been ignored. The church should be, if I could use this phrase because it's been maligned and turned into something stupid, but the church should be a true safe place. It should be a protected place. That women who come to church should never fear abuse. But they should also know that it's a place that they can come, that when they, if there is abuse, that the church will stand in the gap. That we will call men to repentance. That we will demand it. That we will stand between that. And we will not allow that to happen. I want to go on with that. But I have more for us men next week. So wives, remember, this is not a command to silence. It's not a command to endure abuse. It's not a command to follow a husband into sin. It is a simple command that when God has joined you in marriage, you willfully place yourself under the leadership of your husband, fostering his leadership and seeking his good. It's the exact, again, it's the exact same call that Paul gives the church. It's interesting to me is that somehow when it comes to husband and wives, we turn it into some ugly word, submit, and we start turning it into something weird, When we don't ever do that when it's talked about as Christians. We inherently know that the command to submit to one another in the church does not equal Glenn now is ruler over me. It doesn't mean that. We know it doesn't mean that in the church. It doesn't mean that now I fall under Glenn and he does whatever he wants and I just got to follow Glenn. We know inherently that that's not what the word means. But somehow in marriage, we turn it into that. We turn it into that. It's not what it is, ladies. It's your act in obedience to Christ, in reverence for Christ, to place your husband above yourself and to seek his good. That's what it is. Simply and easy. It's not any of the other things. Men, we have much for us next week. Much for us next week. Let's pray. Father, I hope we have done well with your word. And we have instructed your people well. I hope we have made it clear. Forgive us, Lord, where we have misused your commands. When we have turned them into something that is self-serving. When we have sought our own glory and our own importance as opposed to living lives for you. Father, would you heal our people? Would you build our families? And would it begin with wives who just lovingly and graciously seek to submit to their husbands, caring for their good, longing for their good? We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.